Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Like the voice guy said, we'll get back to the Lions here in a second, but some takeaways from the long weekend that featured a World Series, college football, NFL at large, and we begin with Mario Cristobal. Nobody does less with more than Mario Cristobal. He's now 4-9 in the month of November at Miami. He had the number one overall pick at quarterback a year ago, another proven vet this time, and it's happening all over again.
I'm not really sure how to answer this because I agree, so it's not an overreaction, but it's also there are plenty of others who have done less with more, and so maybe I'm saying it's not an overreaction because Franklin, I mean... You talk about a guy that recruits.
At least his team would make the playoff. Cristobal can't get in.
Yeah, but yes, he can't get in. And some of it is just, you know, self-inflicted wounds. But, I mean, with the amount of talent that James Franklin has had in Happy Valley.
And, you can't include him, though. He's not employed.
Yes, but I can. He will be employed again, and well, he'll do the same thing.
Is this a current coach question? Because I'm not prepared for an all-time
coach.
In
the history of college football. Just tell
me
what you think.
I'd say Bo Schembechler then.
Hey-o. Check on that bowl record.
Okay, yeah. Somebody that was employed in this college football season.
That's not just
what do you think of Cristobal?
You know what? This is not an overreaction because, like, you could do, what? You're going to do Dabo, but if you look at the track record, he has two natties. I mean, but Dabo's kind of falling apart. You look at a program like Florida State, you know, that was revered much like Miami, and it's been a coaching carousel down there, so this is not an overreaction.
Do you believe they're saying Heisman Trophy Julian Sayin will win the Heisman? Look, Penn State's not what we thought they'd be, but those are NFL throws down the field. He used his legs too. He's thrown for 300 plus yards in three of the last four games, 15 touchdowns, zero picks in the Big Ten. Your Heisman Trophy winner plays in Columbus.
It's not an overreaction because he will be in New York. If you're asking me to take Julian Sayin or the field, I'll probably take the field. So I guess I'm saying it's an overreaction. I mean, what he does against Michigan will determine whether he wins the Heisman or not. And so he's got his Heisman moments already, but he's got the best ones ahead of him.
Michigan and Indiana.
Right.
I would say this is an overreaction for now, and I thought their response coming out of halftime was very impressive when that game got to 3 points. But this is an overreaction because Mendoza's right there, too, and the Big Ten championship game will decide this award.
You're the slob. You're the gross one. Bryce Underwood isn't developing. The Wisconsin game to start the month of October feels like forever ago. He has no touch on the ball. He's sailing a lot of throws. He hasn't thrown a touchdown in back-to-back weeks. And against Purdue, the guy had multiple red zone turnovers.
This is an overreaction. And I only say that because I know you're going back to Wisconsin. Washington, he was very effective and really good. He's 21-27 and a couple of drops could have been even better. Some of this is on him in regards to the interception that he threw, the fumble that he had. But it's also receivers not being in the right place at the right time. So there's a lot more going on other than just Bryce Underwood being a freshman. He's going to have freshman moments. He is better now than he was at the beginning of the season. And so I think this is just a little bit of an overreaction.
I'm going to say not an overreaction, and that might be a little unfair, and you can blame play calling. You can blame the receivers. I know Doug, actually, I was sitting out in the bullpen last week, and he showed me a specific play on why Samaj Morgan had to be in the game because the other receiver wasn't doing what he's supposed to do.
Right.
Okay. So, but special players have special moments, and I've really yet to see that from Underwood. A little concerned.
Well, you started to see it a little bit, even though it wasn't in the pass game. All of the yards that he had on the ground were just him improvising, and the interception that he threw, he should have just ran the ball.
But I got to see it with the arm.
Yeah.
Do me. We just witnessed the greatest World Series ever. Only four World Series have gone with Game 7 extra innings since the sport integrated. Like, we're talking about rarefied air. Mm-hmm. 74 innings is the most ever, and we had the longest World Series game ever played. The star power, Ohtani, Vlad, Yamamoto winning three games, including pitching Game 7 on 0 days rest. That's the greatest World Series ever played.
To me, this is not an overreaction, and I know that this could be very, you know, subjective in regards to what you believe was, and it's all about opinion. The fact that after the game got over on Saturday, I was able to go home and watch it, 9, 10, and 11, it was awesome. And the fact that I actually saw the end of the 18-inning game because I got up early that day and I turned on the TV, there it was. So it, to me, this is, yes, not an overreaction. It was so much fun to watch. And because L.A. won it, I'm not a Dodgers fan. I do live with one. It's irritating, but I think in the end, this will be a good thing for baseball.
All right, yeah, John said it's subjective. So for me, therefore, it is an overreaction. Now, I'll give a little bonus like point or whatever to the 86 series is really good, but that's number three in my mind. This one was number two. Number one is 91. Kirby Puckett, walk-off in game six. Jack Buck says, we'll see you Sunday night. Signature call. And yep. Then game seven, 10 innings, scoreless. So you had extra innings in six and yep. seven. Game seven goes 10 innings. The Jack Morris, John Smoltz pitching matchup was the greatest pitching performance in a matchup yep. between the two ever in my life. And a little bit of heart goes to Jack Morris in that, too. So that's why it's subjective. Maybe I'm a little jaded.
Sure, I get that. But the other thing, too, is the Toronto Blue Jays were literally, 3 inches away from winning the World Series.
Yep, the drama.
And then all of a sudden it flips.
How about bases loaded in the bottom of the ninth and bases loaded in the tenth? Both teams having a chance to end it and win it.
Can you imagine driving into work in Toronto this morning? Oh. Have we ever had it that bad? Like, maybe the 2009 Red Wings, but at least that was Friday night.
And they had won the year before. You know, I don't know how you ever get over this if you're a Blue Jays.
Yeah.
They tried. The Dodgers are good for baseball. Unpopular opinion, but it's true. They give us a collection of stars to root for or against. They bring notoriety to the game. You know who's bad for baseball? The Pirates, the A's, the Marlins, the Rays, and the White Sox. Owners that don't want to spend, that want to serve as farm systems. At least the Dodgers provide a North Star for teams to chase. They want to win, and they go for it.
So I'm going to say this is not an overreaction, but for a different reason. I just mentioned that the Dodgers are going to be good for baseball. I don't like it that they've won back-to-back World Series titles. And in fact, they should be the favorites to win again next year. And if we go into 27 with a three-peat for a team that has spent this amount of money, because there are a lot of teams that should be spending more money, but I don't know that there's a lot. In fact, there's not a lot. There may be two or three others that can spend as much as the Dodgers. If they're good for baseball, if it forces some form of either salary cap or salary floor, and other teams are supposed to spend, because I don't think there's baseball in 2027, especially if there's going to be a lockout, if the Dodgers end up winning three in a row going into that new CBA.
So this is not an overreaction, and I do believe a lot of what John said there in terms of this will ultimately help the rest of the sport, because it's got to get corrected. You can't be in a situation where a team can spend like this and others don't even have the money to do that. But I actually think also dynasties are good for sports. I love that there's a hunted in baseball. I love that this team kind of in their second run here, three overall in the last 5 years or whatever it is. But the fact that last year they were so dominant, but this year they actually played in the wild card round, that they flipped the switch. Yep. That's a dynasty right there. It's kind of like the Chiefs when they went 10-6 and won the Super Bowl.
It says, Mew, that on Sunday was the real Daniel Jones, and the Colts aren't a real Super Bowl contender. There's a reason Vegas doesn't have them as a Super Bowl contender on the odds. That's Daniel Jones. 5 turnovers, more than he had all season. I think we saw who the Colts really are.
No, I think it was just a bad day for the Colts because, I mean, we've talked about this with our own Lions. They ran the ball 19 times. Jonathan Taylor, 14 times for 45 yards. The recipe for them is not for Daniel Jones to be throwing the ball 50 times. It is for him to be throwing the ball around 30 times, but for them to be able to be productive in the run game. They didn't do that. Daniel Jones is not a guy that you're going to go out there and win the game with. He is a guy that you can win with, though.
Yeah, I think it's an overreaction for now because this. I think you're picking the worst game of the season for them, and every team has a worst game of the season. They are a balanced team. They still have what I think is the best offensive line in the league. But Daniel Jones, yeah, you really raise an eyebrow there, almost like Darnold last year.
I was going to say, are these not the Vikings of 2024? They'll have a lot of regular season wins and then a quick early exit in the postseason.
They have more of a balanced offense. Like I think they could go into Buffalo and give them a game. The Bills' run D is not that good. So I think the Bills and Chiefs are the top two contenders in the AFC. But I think you have to still label the Colts as a contender.
Depth.
The Rams are the best team in the NFC. Matthew Stafford leads the NFL in touchdowns. 21 touchdowns to just 2 interceptions. They have a quarterback that's done it. They should have won in Philly last year in the playoffs. This year in the regular season, their defensive front is special. They are rolling. Nobody better in the NFC.
I still think it's the Eagles. And I know the Rams play the Eagles. Eagles won. And so I think the Eagles are getting right at the right time. I am very concerned about the Lions, you know, trip to Philly. Their defense is starting to play better, and the offense is well balanced in the last couple of games. Saquon Barkley, and they've also got a quarterback that's done it before.
Jim, this is an overreaction. I don't live in a world of should haves. The Rams are 0-2 against the Eagles the last 2 times they played them. You can say whatever you want, but they won, the Eagles won. And I I'm Mr. Philadelphia.
Yeah, can't go back on that, can you?
He's doing the windmill. He's whipping it. He's having a good time. This is finally the year for Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. Yes, they've won in the regular season before, but they befuddled Patrick Mahomes. They held him under 50% completion, worst in any regular season game in his career. They did it by taking away the stuff over the top. They brought in pass rushers. They went heavy to address their defense in the offseason. And a win like that can propel them to hosting the playoff meeting between these two teams, something that has rarely happened. Many of the losses in the postseason have come at Arrowhead. This is the year, buoyed by that game, that the Bills get it done.
It's an overreaction at this point. And it's I'm not going to sit there and say just because they won in the regular season. How many times have we seen them win in the regular season and then lose in the postseason?
And they've won at Arrowhead in the regular season.
Right. And so, yeah, I think this is an overreaction at this point. And I don't know if it's Kansas City that thwarts them. It could be in Indianapolis. Tom just brought up a great point. And you said it. They invested a lot in the defense, yet the defense can't stop the run.
Yeah, maybe Josh Allen won the MVP yesterday. Nice with all your little regular season trophies, Bills. But last Thursday, this overreactions is built for this, okay? Last Thursday and Thursday touchdown, I had the question of, are you taking the Chiefs or the field in the AFC? And he took the Chiefs, and I do too. And until I see the Bills beat the Chiefs in the playoffs, I'm not picking the Bills. Wow, 5 days later.
Wow.
We want to play this game. Who had the Bills winning it preseason? This guy, and it was with the thought that they would host the AFC matchup.
Well, you had the Chiefs last week.
You're just bouncing all over the place, aren't you?
Hippity hop.
Do you even know who you are?
Hey, like a tennis ball on the radio. Do it, John.
Yeah.
This was a swing game. Guys, was this not a swing game? Will this not decide potentially who hosts that playoff
game? It doesn't matter. They won the divisional game there a couple years ago. The Chiefs did. They went into Buffalo and won.
3 of the 4 playoff losses have been at Arrowhead. This is a huge swing game. Like, you don't have to buy it.
And I thought I was the Bills and Josh Allen suck up around here. That's like a little theme that happens on tech sometimes.
Mm-hmm. You're overreact, Jim's 97.1.
Hey, you hear the...
Tell them, John.
You hear the ads. It's law firms bragging about some giant verdict. And to them, it's a trophy. It's a number. And it's good for them. But if you've just been hurt in a car accident, what's it do for you? Here's the truth about David Feminino. He wins big, but he knows it's not about headlines. It's about you. That money pays your medical bills. It keeps your family steady, and it matters only because you need it. That's the difference. With David, it's never about showing off. It's about fighting for you. Call David at 855-65-CRASH, or you can visit him on the web at getdavidgetpaid.com. That number again, 855-65-CRASH, or on the web at getdavidgetpaid.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Before we get back into Lions talk, Heather with the news.
Yep, this news is sponsored by Gardner White. Well, a lawyer for one of the men arrested in the alleged Michigan terror plot is disputing everything, saying that despite the FBI's claims of this Halloween weekend attack, there was no plot to carry out violence. The attorney, who is representing a 20-year-old from Dearborn, says federal authorities haven't provided really any facts or enough facts, and that after reviewing the case, he believes that this is nothing more than, I think what he called it was like gaming chat room talk, not terrorism. And this lawyer is not alone. There's another lawyer who's representing a 19-year-old from Dearborn who had his house searched by the FBI, hasn't been arrested or charged, but is representing this young man. And he says there's no credible evidence that any so-called mass casualty event was ever planned, discussed, or intended. This next story is pretty cool. Chad Smith, the drummer of the Red Hot Chili Peppers, has launched a music scholarship at the University of Michigan. So he's a Michigan native, grew up in Bloomfield Hills, and he made the surprise appearance at Ann Arbor's Hills Auditorium on Sunday during Bandorama. And he made the announcement, and it's called the Smith Family Music Scholarship. And it's obviously meant to support students who are pursuing music at U of M School of Music. He said it's meant to help a student in need and to foster education in the arts. So this $40,000 scholarship will be available to one incoming freshman in the fall of 2026. And then Smith says he hopes that this is going to be something that can continue annually.
That's great.
Yeah, it's really neat. Yeah, very cool. Michigan State Police are investigating after a driver reported being shot at on I-94 in Detroit on Saturday night. So investigators said that the driver called 911, later met with troopers right outside of Comerica Park, and said, hey, another vehicle opened fire while I was driving. The driver told police that he was in the right lane when a Dodge Charger pulled up in the center lane right next to him. The passenger window rolled down on the Charger. Shots were fired. The victim exited the highway, and he did have two bullet holes that were found on the driver's side of his vehicle. No injuries were reported. A search of the freeway didn't turn up any evidence, but the incident is under investigation.
That's scary.
Yeah, very scary, and it seems to be happening way too frequently. Celebration quickly turned into chaos in the streets of Los Angeles following the Dodgers' back-to-back World Series win. So thousands of fans poured into the streets, right? Kind of in the neighborhood near Dodger Stadium, just all over. And a dispersal order was declared right around 12:30 a.m. after officers were hit by fireworks, bottles. So tear gas was used to kind of control the crowd. The mayor of Los Angeles praised the title win, but also condemned the violence, saying that while the win belongs to the city, law breaking has no place in the celebration. About seven people were arrested.
That's too bad.
Yep. A popular steakhouse that once had more than 700 locations across the country is returning. So right now there's only 74, but they're making a big comeback. Sizzler.
Yeah, the Sizzler.
Yes.
Let's go.
Survived two bankruptcies and now plans to be a big-time player in the steak game yet again. So the chain is now focused on remodeling its stores, and they say the stores or restaurants that they've already remodeled have seen a positive result. A big sales increase. Yeah. So that's going to be kind of like what they're going to do to their remaining restaurants and then hopefully kind of start opening more and more.
Hopefully they juice up the menu just a little bit as well.
I would imagine that would be kind of a
part
whole
of
like
to.
A whole
refresh.
Rebrand.
Yeah. For sure.
All right, Heather with the news. This is normally where we'd play Dan Campbell's victory speech in the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
Don't have one of those today.
Nope.
Instead, let's hear from Dan Campbell at the podium following the Lions' loss. So he put the blame on himself. We'll play the blame game coming up at 7:35. Start taking those phone calls now if you want to jump in. I mean, is it the O-line? Is it the play calling, John Morton? Is it the head coach, the level of unpreparedness? Is it special teams? The beauty of this question is no shortage of answers.
Right.
248-539-9797. John, a couple plays in the game I wanted to get your thoughts on. Okay. The roughing the passer calls. We already had someone bring up Jack Campbell. There's also an Aiden Hutchinson kicking out his leg. What did you make of them calls?
So, I mean, the Hutch one, while it looks a little bit lame, I understand that one. You know, I mean, he did, you know, stick his leg out. He's trying to do everything he can to get to J.J. McCarthy, but that is a penalty. He kicked him.
Yep.
All right? You don't kick people. But the one for Jack Campbell, I thought was just an unawful call. Now, by rule, by definition, letter of the law, all right, he falls on him. I have an issue with the rule more so than them actually calling the penalty. The penalty is weak. The rule is lame. And you look at what Jack Campbell did. He came in and it was, I mean, you want to talk about a form tackle? That's the definition of a form tackle, of hitting a quarterback where you don't, your head's up, you're not helmet to helmet, you hit him. The timing was great. It's all because he fell on top of him. Are you supposed to mid-tackle adjust your body so that you can defy gravity and roll off?
Yes.
He did try to let go, brace himself, which put himself at risk. Could have broke a wrist on that or a hand. I don't like the call.
Yeah, the NFL rule is you have to turn off gravity after you hit the quarterback. And Jack Campbell failed to turn off gravity from the moment he hit the quarterback. You're right. He sees what he hits. It's not a helmet-to-helmet shot. It's not late. And you're right. He braced himself on the way down as to not place all of his body weight and drive the quarterback into the turf. He did everything you're supposed to on that play. There's nothing more he could have done other than allow the quarterback to get the ball off clean. And if that's what the NFL would prefer, that's a total joke.
Yeah.
The Aiden one I get. I'm right there with you. You kick the leg out. It looks stupid, but you can't do it.
Yeah. I mean, when I first saw it, I thought, what the heck is that? And then you look at it again, and you're like, oh, okay. It's kind of been there.
And this is not sour grapes. The Lions didn't lose the game because of these roughing the passer calls. I just wanted to get your take on it.
They're frustrating because especially the Jack Campbell one, it's a free 15 yards and a first down at a time where you feel like, hey, okay, this is big play. Again, you're starting to try and find ways to catch momentum, and you just get kicked while you're down.
248-539-9797. We want to play the blame game. Want to know who gets the most blame for that loss yesterday. A bad loss for the Lions. That's not losing to Green Bay on the road in week one with a young offensive line. That's not losing in Arrowhead to Kansas City, right? Super Bowl caliber football team. Mm-hmm. That's losing at home off a bye week against a quarterback making just his third NFL start. Who do you blame most? Tell you about Shaner Roofing. Replacing a roof isn't something that most of us look forward to. It's a big investment. That's why you got to make the right call. Choose the right company. For over 30 years, Michigan homeowners have trusted Shaner Roofing. Here's why. Local experts, proven track record, but beyond that, every roof they install comes with a lifetime transferable warranty. That means the investment you're going to make will be protected for as long as you own your home and even if you go to sell it. Plus, Shaner Roofing has earned a 4.9-star Google rating. That's thousands of happy customers. Doesn't happen overnight. It's built on decades of quality work and customer care. So, if your roof's aging, if it's leaking, if you've been putting it off and you just want that peace of mind, MyMichiganRoof.com. That's MyMichiganRoof.com, powered by Shaner Roofing, Michigan's trusted roofing experts.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Sacked five times. Bunch of issues up front for the Lions pass pro. Line, backs, tight ends, all of it. What do you blame? You blame the offensive line? Like, at the end of the day, it does distill all the way back to if you can't get a push up front, if you can't protect your quarterback, you know, Goff's not going to transform into Michael Vick or Lamar Jackson. Like, if you can't pressure or if you can't protect up front from pressure, you're toast.
Well, especially on the interior. Like, yeah. It just happens too quick. You know, and I know we all talked about wanting to get J-Mo the ball downfield. You got no hope if it's a second and a half, and all of a sudden, Goff is trying to avoid one rusher and getting pushed out to the edge where he's going to have to avoid more rushers.
Sacked 10 times over the last three games.
And this goes after, what was it? There was a three-game stretch where he didn't get sacked at all.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I thought we were past this. Like, week one, Green Bay on the road, young, reshuffled offensive line, right? New play caller, figuring stuff out. Week one, understandable, on the road. Right? Have a chance to make up for it on Thanksgiving Day. You can put it in the past. Sunday Night Football, Arrowhead, Kansas City. Not that any loss is good, but okay. I kind of understand that one. I can't understand 2 weeks to prepare. Off a bye week at home. I thought we put a lot of this miscommunication stuff behind us. Can't complain about the noise on the road. And you can't run for 3 yards a carry. You got to be able to move people in the run game. I don't care who the play caller is. If this team's not moving people in the run game, if Jared Goff doesn't have time to get to his reads, even the hot route and get the ball out, you're dead. You're toast. It's going nowhere. So to me, I put the most blame on the offensive line. That doesn't mean I'm absolving Dan Campbell, because now it's three straight times they've had extra time to prepare and they've come out flat. This game, week one, and the playoff game. So I'm not letting him off the hook, and it's ultimately his offense. Mm-hmm. You know, and we could point to John Morton, 5 of 17 on these third downs, a lot of the east-west horizontal stuff, screens that don't work. You want to blame special teams? Look, they gave him short field on the opening touchdown, let McCarthy settle in. They had a field goal blocked in the fourth quarter. You want to the run game. Detroit's getting run on. I thought the D-line was good. Like, there's all kinds of stuff that you can blame. And look, looking at the phone calls, I know you guys are ready to do it. 248-539-9797. John, who gets the most blame?
Well, to me, it's the offensive line. That's 1A. 1B is the D-line. So let's start with the offensive line. And I talked about it already a little bit, where you have the interior of the offensive line, and it was, you get beat by a cross dog once. Okay. It happens. Then it happens again, and it happens again, and it happens again. Like, Brian Flores is not going to stop calling it. He's going to stop calling it after you pick it up. If you can't pick it up, hey, let's run third and long, second and long. Let's do the same thing. And it was not identifying things, even on rundowns where you're not getting good push, but they're still running linebackers through, and Gibbs Montgomery had nowhere to go. It couldn't even bounce it because they were on them so quickly. That's the thing is, if you just give Jahmyr Gibbs the ability to get to the line of scrimmage, even if there's nothing there, but you get a little bit of push, now all of a sudden he has a chance to bounce it. He can cut it back. He can do a lot of things. Yesterday, there was none of that. And even when you had, wasn't even games, Javon Hargrave, just a loop, and Mahogany goes a little bit too far. Decker doesn't come down far enough. And you've got two guys accounting for one, and that's the guy that splits and makes the play. That's where, at this time, I'm not expecting, they're rookies until the end of the season. They're going to make rookie mistakes throughout the course of the year. I didn't expect to see 60 minutes of rookie mistakes. And Graham Glasgow is not a rookie, but he is surrounded by two. If that's the case, then at least he needs to be able to be somebody you can rely on in there. And yesterday, it wasn't the case.
Trade deadline's tomorrow. Mahogany out for an extended period of time. I'm sure we'll get to that today as well. 248-539-9797.
Yeah.
Let's get to Jordan in a car. Jordan, what's up? You're on 97.1. Or Jordan, we'll get to you in a second. Look, the passion Amik plays with, all for it. Mm-hmm. All for it. And he does get up for the matchups against Justin Jefferson. All about that. The other point he was going to make, because it said in the little notes, the Montgomery fumble. He put a lot of blame on that fumble because it looked like they were finally going to pick up a third and long and maybe start to put a drive together.
Yeah. And then you give them a short field. You go with that fumble. It's 3 plays, 8 yards fumble. It's 17-14 at the time. And now all of a sudden, hey, the Vikings get the ball on the 28-yard line, and they go 5 plays, and boom, it's a touchdown. 2.5 minutes later, just shy of 2.5 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Those plays add up. And there were so many mistakes in this football game. Like, John, I know you made the joke right away today. If only they had more time to prepare. Like, off a bye week, it adds more. It stings more.
It does, because it felt like at times, it felt like they were surprised. At times, they just, physically got beat. And it's the physically getting beat thing that drives me nuts. And yes, we could talk about the 12 days to prepare for this game, and it felt like they were surprised by some things. You're going to get surprised at times, especially with the defensive coordinator like Brian Flores. Like, he's going to come with some new stuff, because what he was calling the last couple of years didn't work. So, hey, you got two young guards in there. Let's test them out. Let's blitz 50% of the time and make them communicate. Make them pass things off. Even when they were able to block things up, you have Jahmyr Gibbs going in there to pick up a blitzing linebacker, and he uses poor technique.
He blocks half a man, gets his quarterback killed.
And defensively, it's the same thing. You got manhandled at the line of scrimmage. We were all excited about, Aleem McNeil being back. It's not just on him.
No.
It's DJ Reader. It's Hutch. It's that entire group. When you are to this point, had been a really good team at stopping the run, this is a Minnesota offensive line that was banged up, and they came in and controlled the line of scrimmage.
Let's get to Jordan. You're on 97.1.
Hey, guys. I want to put the blame on Morton just in regards to the fact that they're showing no adjustments after seeing what's not working. It seemed like after the first half, you would have to make some sort of adjustments, and he keeps trying to dump the ball off behind the line of scrimmage, and we're not able to get any forward progress or any positive yardage after that. The teams are just picking it off like they're prepared for it.
Yeah, I mean, I think some of it is if you're getting blitzed, you try screens and you try to beat them short and run after it just wasn't working.
No, nothing was.
So, I mean, John, I don't know what you're supposed to do, because the answer is, well, I got to be able to hold a pocket to take vertical shots. And if I can't hold a pocket with 5, 6, or even 7, nothing's going to work. I mean, when you lose up front, you lose the football game.
Yep.
Specifically without a quarterback that can razzle-dazzle and make, chicken salad out of chicken you-know-what. Goff's not that guy. For all the things we like about him, he's not that guy. So when you lose up front, you lose up the middle, play's over. So then the adjustment is, well, I got to get the ball out quick. well, then it looks too much like East and West. And when it's third and long, you got your work cut out for you. 248-539-9797. Let's get to TJ in Kalamazoo. TJ, good morning.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up?
Good morning.
Yeah, so I said who to blame. Brad Holmes. You let Kevin Zeitler walk, and this team preaches that the strength is the offensive line. So for you to think that you can move a guard who Graham Glasgow has been inconsistent for the past 2 years, it's just been covered up, you expect him to start at center and play well, and then you get essentially two rookie guards to kind of build to have the best offensive line in the league. So I would kind of place some blame on Brad Holmes as well, because you don't really have a lot of depth on the offensive line. Like, Yodi is a good guy, but do you trust him? I mean, Skipper, he's okay, but you don't trust him to be the best in their positions, versus we had best in our positions. Obviously, Frank went or retired. We let Zeitler walk. So to even expect two guards to come in and, you know, keep the offensive line, I guess, tradition going, it's kind of a blame on, you know, Brad Holmes. And, you know, you sit on your hands and not do anything to fix it.
Well, I think it shifts back to him with the clock ticking for tomorrow. Look, Zeitler's on a 1-8 football team. I know he wanted to go back to Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
You want to come back and play for a couple months and chase Super Bowl, buddy?
Family should be settled. Got family there to help. That's why he went there.
Now, some of that would be he is strictly a right guard. So you'd be moving Ratledge as a rookie from the right to the left side midseason. But it is a guy who is familiar.
Or we had heard about this, and I don't know how much they've been doing to develop this. Is Ratledge ready to play center?
Because and then Graham goes to left guard, which was his more natural between the two.
And that's where, and I don't know the answer to that question. Yeah. That's for, and maybe we ask Dan that tomorrow, are they still working in Ratledge at center? Is it possible that that's the best five is, if you're able to get Zeitler, that he comes in, he plays right guard, that you bump Ratledge to center?
Zeitler's going to come up a lot because he's on a bad football team and has familiarity in Detroit and played well. The other name that came up pre-show was Betonio.
Yeah.
With left guard in Cleveland. Veteran player.
Yeah.
Kind of a last go-around. Yeah, chasing the Super Bowl. Brad, it's the biggest need right now. It's the offensive line.
And we know that Brad Holmes is able to call Cleveland. It happened last year. All right, so can he work a deal to bring in somebody that might help this offensive line?
Playing the blame game. O-line. Play calling, head coach, special teams, run defense, general manager.
All around.
Let us know. It's 97.1.
Hey, the FanDuel Sportsbook app is your home for all your favorite NFL bets. From yards to touchdowns to who is going to win. With FanDuel, any play can be the play of the game. And tonight's matchup, FanDuel is giving all customers a 30% profit boost token. Again, I'm going to repeat. That's all customers. That's right. You can get in on all the action with a 30% PBT this Monday night. Make FanDuel your go-to app for any and every snap. All you have to do is visit FanDuel.com/971Detroit to bet on the game. That's FanDuel.com/971Detroit. Play your game with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. Opt-in required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable profit boost tokens. Restrictions apply, including any token expiration and max wager amount. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's a bad loss. It's not week one on the road. It's not at Arrowhead, Sunday night, Patrick Mahomes. That's J.J. McCarthy in just his third career start. Look, I think he handled some third and long blitzes, but the team handed him favorable field position. 17 points came on drive starting in Lions territory. A kick return, a fumble, and a blocked field goal. You want to make the case for special teams? You can do that. We've been talking about the blame game. Starts up front on the offensive line. If you can't run it, if you can't protect, you're not going to win. You want to blame the play calling? John Morton's taking heat today. You want to blame Dan Campbell? He put it on himself. That's how you look out of a bye week, 10 penalties. Last three times they've had extra days to prepare. They've played flat. Week one, playoff game. Come on, guys. Plenty to go around. 248-539-9797. Before we get back to the phones. Mm-hmm. We have a trade in the NFL. Day before the deadline, the Dolphins are trading edge rusher Jalen Phillips to the Philadelphia Eagles for a third-round draft choice. Howie Roseman, more.
Always very active. We'll see what Brad Holmes does.
So they got Jair Alexander, too.
Over the weekend, yeah.
Wow.
Any positions of need? Yeah, well, tomorrow's not here yet.
Well, I mean, this does shift it back to, okay, well, the Eagles are going to load up to get after you. The Lions have to protect, have to address the offensive line. Because, John, I want to make sure I stress this to people. I don't think this is about one football game. This has been an issue now multiple times this season for Detroit. Goff is on pace to be sacked more times this year than any other. They are not protecting him. Sacked 10 times over the last three games. The offense has looked bad for three straight games. This doesn't feel like a one-week issue, especially when you see the news that Mahogany's going to be out for extended periods of time now.
But it also feels like, and this is where I say it is the life you got to live when you have two rookies. And yes, Mahogany, still a rookie, starting on your offensive line, because you go to the Cleveland Browns game. You can say whatever you want about Baltimore's defense. You can say whatever you want about, you know, some of the other defenses that they played. And yes, Baltimore's not a good team. Cleveland is not a good team. But their defensive front is really good.
Yeah.
And to hold them without a sack is a big deal.
It's inconsistent. And for this team to win a Super Bowl, they're going to have to string together three or four. It feels more like four games in a row where they don't have those kind of leaks.
I'm glad that you used that word, inconsistent. Yes, this team is very inconsistent. And it's a shame that the special teams played the way that they did, that the defensive front played the way that they did. And then the offense, yeah, sure, the production wasn't there. The rhythm wasn't there. But you're going to have some inconsistencies when you have rookies.
Ticket text, I blame Frank. Not retiring right after the season and putting us in a bind.
Okay.
Paul in St. Clair, I think Matt LaFleur was right. We needed to be worried about football and not Halloween parties. That's why we lost.
Okay.
Was it that? Applebee's or Morton in the booth?
It's because Jared Goff was Ratatouille. Come on, guys.
Is that what he dressed up as?
He was the chef from Ratatouille.
Okay.
That's not why they lost.
No, it's not.
Let's get back to the phones. We got Sam in Dearborn. Sam, you're on 97.1.
Hello, thank you. Good morning.
What's up?
I think the blame is on the entire, I want to sound cliche, but organization. I don't think they're serious about winning a Super Bowl. I never thought they were, not even in the summer. They needed a pass rush. They didn't get one. Well, another one to compliment Aiden Hutchinson. Now you're scrambling for a corner at the trade deadline's tomorrow. So, I just don't think that they're serious about winning.
Too many holes to fill? Because I would say edge and corner aren't even the big need now. I mean, the big need to me would be on the interior of that offensive line. I mean, if Mahogany's done for the season, which is on the table right now, they desperately need to reinforce the interior.
I just don't think, like, the Commanders had a very bad game yesterday, and I think the Lions should be able to beat the Commanders.
Yes.
But if they lose against the Commanders and you go to Philadelphia, like, you might want to grab onto your behinds a little bit.
Well, Sam, I'd be stunned. Look, stranger things have happened. I'd be stunned if the Lions lost back-to-back here when you're facing a Commanders team that had circled. And Jaden Daniels' elbow, by the way, popped out of its socket. I think he's done.
Done for a while.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're not going to play him this week.
No, I would highly unlikely that would happen.
But it's beyond just beating the Commanders this week in a bounce back spot. It's trying to build. Campbell said this, like, out of the bye week, starting to really build on it.
So I do want to address one thing that caller talked about, and it was not addressing the edge. We would all love to have a bigger name opposite Aiden Hutchinson. This is still a team that is second in the NFL in sacks. And so I don't necessarily know that that's been a huge concern. The bigger concern coming out of yesterday was being able to stop the run. And okay, we can sit there and say a one-off for the defensive front. I don't necessarily disagree with that concept. But they're going to have to continue to play better throughout the rest of the season. You can have a bad game. It's just a shame that the bad game happened for offense, defense, and special teams all in the same game.
Yeah. Look, the season's not over. I don't know that we even have to acknowledge that out loud. I mean, there's still half a regular season to go. They're going to have some big marquee games with points to prove. You want to prove a point? Go into Philadelphia. You want to prove a point? Beat Green Bay on Thanksgiving. I just hope we aren't sitting there regretting what could have been. And that's what Brad Holmes has between now and the deadline to address, is get as much as he can to improve this football team.
And the reason this one hurts a lot is it's a Vikings it's division opponent.
I know.
And they're not a good version of the Vikings. They got a rookie quarterback. And all of those things hurt. And going into the game, I don't know that there was an Alliance fan that didn't walk into that, into Ford Field, or turn the TV on, that didn't have their chest puffed out.
Oh, yeah. Especially the opening drive.
So it was, I mean, it was stunning that they played this way, even after the first drive. Like, hey, all right, hey, chest puffed out. Yeah, this is how it's going to go. Yeah, we're going to put it on the Vikings. And then there was nothing after that first drive.
248-539-9797. I'm looking down at the phone calls. People have issues with Morton. They have issues with the offensive line. They have other issues we haven't even brought up yet. We'll get to it next. 97.1.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.